Hello, Art?
Yes.
Hi. I don't have a whole lot of time.
Well, look, let's begin by finding out whether you're using this line properly or not.
Area 51.
Yeah, that's right. Were you an employee or are you now?
A former employee.
Former employee.
I was let go on a medical discharge about a week ago, and I've kind of been running across the country. Oh man, I don't know where to start. They're gonna they'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
So you can't spend a lot of time on the phone. So give us something quick.
Okay. Okay. What we're thinking of as aliens are they're extra dimensional beings that. An earlier precursor of the space program made contact with. They are not what they claim to be. They have infiltrated a lot of aspects of the military establishment, particularly the Area 51. The disasters that are coming.
Now this is a. This is a clip of a caller into a national syndicated radio show, which at the time was not too popular. It's called Coast to Coast, hosted by the lone gunman himself, Art Bell. Now, I had some trouble with this yesterday, trying to put together, piece together, in a grounded manner, the alien question, which is the only way I can truly refer to it as. It's an alien question, as Phil Schneider says. How does one begin to, in a grounded way, speak of something that is so ungrounded in itself? You see, it's not like talking about 9/11. With 9/11, you've got the facts. There is no two ways about it. There is no alternating theories, really. There are a few people who say it was a hologram and a missile, but you know, you can think what you want. The point is, we know what happened, and there's facts to support it. When it comes to the alien question, it is just that. It is a question. Over the past 80 years, there have been thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, or even millions of UFO reportings since 1947. Now, I say 1947 after Roswell, but we all know that there were more reportings before that, and there were more crashes, too. It's just Roswell is the big infamous. In 1886, there was a UFO sighted, one of the first UFO pictures in American history, taken in New Hampshire, 1886, October, I can't remember what day it was exactly, but it was a photo taken of a UFO flying over a mountain. So, when you talk about UFOs, it's really, each theory is like a snowflake. None are really all the same. In fact, each theory is different. It's sort of like with what happens with the 2012 phenomenon, December 21st, 2012. Everybody had their own theory. Some people thought it was, everybody had their own theory. And so it's really hard to speak on this, clearly. But yet the one thing that we can all agree on right now is that over the past 100 years, if not more, if not since the dawn of man, we have had encounters with otherworldly beings. That's beyond a doubt. All people who have had these encounters have had sort of similar storylines with these beings, whether it be abductions or UFO sightings. They all claim to have seen the same thing, even though they are not related to each other or know each other, even live in the same place or country or continent. Over the past 10 years, we have had much more UFO sightings. We say much more. I would say they're actually exactly the same as they've always been. It's just now that because we have the internet popularized over the past 10 years, it's much easier to view them, giving people the impression that there have been more sightings, which there haven't been. They've been with us a very long time, in fact. But I've brought a few people on my show here today to talk about this. Now, like I said, every theory is unique, and I would advise the listeners of my audience to be open-minded, because I completely lost what I was about to say after that. But long story short, it's a part of the alternative viewpoint that not many people really emphasize these days. UFOs, aliens, demonic apparitions, if not one and the same, black-eyed children, men in black. I myself have had an encounter with these entities, which prompted me to sort of assume a different position on what the men in black really are. Because what I saw, well, I'm not going to go into details, but as much details as I will disclose, that I saw beings who in every way matched the description of the men in black, except for the fact that they weren't wearing black, nor were they wearing looking at all like the men in black, nor was I into UFO or government research at the time. Which sort of leads me to conclude that these beings are a bit more than just aliens or demons or something else. But I'm going to bring Sherry from New York, who is, yes, still in the room. Sherry Beth, how are you doing today, Sherry?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, okay. What?
Better.
So like I said, no two theories are the same. I've got to ask you, what do you think? Nobody can really say, given the evidence of which is few and far between, what these things really are. I see David Icke's website. He talks about reptilians. I don't think that reptilians run our government. I think our government works with beings who you could perceive as reptilian or demonic in some way, but I don't think that Obama is a reptilian. I think he may be dictated by one. But, I mean, everybody's theory is different. The only time I hear about the alien question being brought up is in Coast to Coast. And Coast to Coast is run by a very lame individual by the name of George Norrie, so...
Oh, cut him some slack, man. He's stressed. He's old.
He's not stressed. He's done the show the way... I mean, you know...
I'm gonna get you his mom.
You know, back in the day, yeah, George Norrie, like, when he took over for Art Bell back in 2003, George Norrie was a really good host. Well, I mean, good enough. But now Norrie sucks. I don't even listen to Coast to Coast anymore.
He's not committed anymore. He's not it.
His contract ends at the end of 2013. But anyway, what would you say that these things... what is your theory? I mean, your theory of everything, maybe? Just a point of view as to what we're dealing with here as far as an innumerable quantity.
My theory is that we are blips, mere blips in this vast universe that we have no idea what is out there. I mean, it's unconscionable. Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
And that's true, Sherry. I mean, if you think about it, I laugh maniacally. Internally, I laugh at people who claim or act as if they know everything. Even scientists, even... well-educated people who know quite a bit, who claim to know everything or have a theory of everything. It's entertaining because, if you think about it, our universe is but a speck out of many billions of universes in an infinite vast wasteland that is the void of space. And when you think about it, all that we are capable of perceiving is up to the third and somewhat of the fourth dimension, which is time. We have no limit. We have a very limited understanding on that which we call reality, and no understanding on the true nature of it. We only can perceive so limited as we do to define what is. Now, I respect the scientist who is open-minded to admit that he is wrong or could be wrong, but that he and what he says is a theory and just that.
The Japanese guy?
No, I'm saying any scientist who admits
the Japanese guy with the long hair is pretty cool.
Oh, that's not a Japanese guy. That's Nassim Haramein. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, is he Japanese, Korean? What is he?
No, he's
hot.
He's from Switzerland, I think.
But okay, he's from Switzerland, but.
I don't know. It's not Japanese. He's Swiss or Italian. He's European for a fact. His mother is Italian, I know that.
He's not Asian? Oh, forget it. Let's get off him.
Wow. Never mind. Holy shit.
Well,
you've been spending too much time in Chinatown, Sherry.
No, I've been in the Dagobah system for too long. That's my problem.
Man, that sucks. I went to the Dagobah system last week. Yoda, I visited his tomb. Yeah, Yoda, he passed away just recently. Anyway.
I think the fifth dimension is something that, well, the Palladians, you know, say, well, the fifth dimension just, is what you're not going to...
I've got to completely redefine the word dimension for you guys out there, because when people speak of dimension, they refer to otherworldliness, as in other plane or other frequency. A dimension is more or less a sort of quantifiable measurement, maybe. Something, for instance, we have one dimension, which is length, or a point. One dimension, which is length, two, which is width, three, which is height, and so you have volume, and then there's four, which is time. And the thing is, if you're saying that these beings are from another dimension, could not you be saying that they are from length or width? I think these beings occupy a point of space-time similar in location to ours, however, vibrating at a different frequency rather than existing in another dimension. And so it's to say that with string theory, it is, correct me if I'm wrong here, string theory states that rather than our world being constructed of solid molecular structure or subatomic particles, the subatomic particles themselves consist of strings that are manifesting these particles in our reality depending upon which frequency they oscillate at. So therefore, wouldn't it be logical to say that our entire universe, rather than a solid structure, is just in fact a wavelength?
Of course. It's a frequency. It's a frequency band.
If you change the frequency, couldn't you change reality? In a sense? Reality? I know it's a bit advanced, and for some of those listening out there, it's a bit far-fetched, but for me, it just seems to make sense that if our universe is a... like I said, I don't know. You can't claim to know everything, but you can claim to have an idea, or at this point, at our level of development, have some form of knowledge.
Ten string theories were isolated down to four string theories and gave way to M theory?
You have to know, as a species, we know absolutely nothing. We only claim to know everything. There is 10th dimensional string theory, there's 11th dimensional string theory, M theory, super string theory, which is beyond 11th dimension. I think it claims that there are 14 or 15 different strings. I'm not sure, but all of this being put together, it...
But there are nine planets.
What?
There are nine planets. Pluto is not the ninth planet.
Yeah, technically Pluto is no longer classified as a planet. It is classified as... some sort of a sub-planet, maybe. Mm. Yeah.
Poor guy. Poor kid. Yeah.
Poor Pluto.
Blame it on Disney, man. It's all his fault.
Yeah, Walt Disney. What a great guy. He said that apparently if, the first man to have a child, and by child I mean the first man to actually become pregnant, would inherit his fortune. What a whack.
First man to become pregnant. Okay. Have we got anyone in the room for that or what? Can we get a witness?
Is anybody in here pregnant? I know you're all guys, so... Alright, I guess none of you are getting rich today. Anyway, with all of these UFOs, I mean, I think of things now more literally now more than ever, because... when you go back to stories of the Bible and you talk about flaming chariots and wheels and stuff like that flying around the sky, it brings in the question, were these entities manifesting themselves in our reality in biblical times as they are now?
I totally think so.
And if they were manifesting themselves in our reality in those days, could they, given their advanced technology, manifest themselves in our reality as they see fit in a way that humans could understand, in a sense that flaming chariot could have truly been a flaming chariot rather than a UFO? People say there were UFOs in the Bible. I say, no, there were what the Bible said, but perhaps the beings who orchestrated it had the ability to do so that people could understand them better.
It was their perception. I mean, I think every I think every story is different, but the same. It has the same elements, but it's just, it has a different costume. It has a different setting. It's history repeating itself over and over and over again, just with a different, you know, locale or, you know, different people, but it is the same. And just like you say in biblical times, I think that I forget who I was listening to, but they were talking about Solomon's temple and,
Well, we're not so much speaking.
No, but what you're talking about is being in a different element, being in different.
What I'm saying is that these beings, these things, whether they be demons or angels or even both, based on your perception of them, are capable of manifesting themselves in their reality, however they choose to do so. That being said, it really makes me wonder. If the men in black, if the black-eyed children, if everything from leprechauns, fairies, to djinn, to E.T., phone and home, are one and the same entity, if one and the same entity choosing to manifest itself in our reality for whatever culture they decide to show up in. Like for the Irish, you'd say a leprechaun. For Americans, you'd say the E.T., which was popularized in the 20s.
They're fairies in Ireland. They're actually
I've met people who say they've seen fairies, and I'm not going to doubt them for seeing fairies. If they saw a fairy, they saw a fairy.
Hold up. Let's go back to our boy, George Norrie. He was talking about, he had some guy on, and they were talking about good and evil. And if someone dies and who is inherently evil, do they stay evil? Do they go to an evil place? And it is. Did you hear that one?
See, that's a good question, because Christians, I mean, like American Christians, not like real Christians, Americanized Christians believe in this hell concept of hell and heaven, I believe. I don't know. But that being said, I believe that there is a feature of this world that a world in itself that could be perceived as heaven or hell. But do you go to either one of these places? If you are good or bad or follow some set of rules, I don't think so. I think that maybe you appear in these places when you, like I said, I don't know. That's sort of an ungrounded topic, and it's completely.
We're only borrowing this body. This is only a vessel. Our soul, our entity, goes somewhere else. Where it goes, who knows?
People depend on their looks, and they believe they are so grounded in their body that they don't realize that. When they die, their body was just a vessel for that their soul could travel in. Their brains are a vessel instrument. For consciousness, and their body is just an instrument. But yet, we as people, in order to ground ourselves, have become so attached to our bodies that we actually have convinced ourselves that our bodies are who we are, rather than who we are inside our bodies.
Indeed. Don't judge a book by its cover. Yeah, it's not. It's something more ethereal. More. It's a higher consciousness. It's a higher level. It's a higher existence. Right? Wrong? What do we got, Fox? Tell me.
Well, now this is another problem I have. When people say waking up, for instance, with the truth movement, for instance. There is no waking up. You don't wake up. When you get up in the morning, you're awake. What it is breaking down barriers and becoming more alert and more aware and more coherent. The majority of Americans, I would say about maybe 45-60%, whatever, a great number of Americans believe that this reality is their reality. But it is their reality. However, their reality is consistent of TV, job, mortgage.
An illusion.
Whatever. It's an illusion. It's not really an illusion. That's the problem. All of it is, in fact, very real. But yet, it is not the bigger picture. What we think of as waking up is really rather not waking up, but zooming out, stepping back, and seeing the bigger picture. And the more we can do this, the more we know about the fundamental.
Internal, intuitive, spiritual insight. That's what it is. That's what you're talking about. That's what they lack.
We can go macroscopic, or we can go microscopic. When I say microscopic, we can begin to realize the truths in nature within ourselves, or we can see the truths in nature within nature itself, which is the bigger picture. But if we can find a balance between the two and understand not only the bigger picture, but the bigger picture and the bigger picture within ourselves, we can find balance and harmony within the universe.
As above, so below.
I myself struggle with this. I just recently started to discover who I am. Maybe about a year ago, I got on the road across the United States, and I started realizing where I really stand in terms of reality and in myself, and I'm starting to see that every day.
Yeah. Like, well, you are leaps and bounds from any, you know, young man I've ever talked to. It's astonishing, but it's actually having to, you know, you have to like take in everything and not fully understand it and not know the answers, but kind of be open to the possibilities, be open to suggestions, be open to the what ifs, you know, connect the dots maybe. And I think that American culture, American society, people on the whole are not open to changing their opinions, nor are they open to even thinking for themselves, because if they do, then that puts them apart from everybody else, and that makes them, you know, truthers. You know,
well, the thing is that mankind is right now being dominated by a very primitive force of elites. Now, when you speak of eugenics, you think that it is a higher evolved species trying to eliminate a lesser one, when in fact, the people who run this world are extremely primitive and unevolved. And if you actually look at these people, I hate to say it, but these are some ugly-looking motherfuckers, too. Anyway, I just had to get
you
that
said
out.
Fuck.
But the point is, these people are a lesser evolved race trying to suppress evolution because they're threatened by it. And so,
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's why people who don't like, you know, people who smile, people who enjoy, you know, strife, who like it only when people are fighting with each other. That's evil, you know?
Well, they want to convince us that
they operate on lower frequencies.
Want to convince us that people like me, people who have been labeled as one thing or another, man, I've been labeled with bipolar, I've been labeled with schizophrenia, I've been labeled with ADHD, which of course is just the justification for the pharmaceutical industries, but they're trying to convince us that people like me are lesser evolved and lesser humans, when in fact we are actually smarter and more capable than the majority of man who, and I gotta say, if I have ADHD, then you're all fucked, because I have a really good attention span. I remember 10 years ago and what it was like, and I was only 6 years old, but I remember it was much better before 9/11.
You're 16, man? You faked your license? 20. What the fuck?
I'm actually 20. I said when I was...
This is my identification. I don't believe you.
I have bad math skills right now, but that's not the point. Fuck yeah, man.
You're mathematically challenged.
I'm not mathematically challenged. I'm just,
You're stressed.
Take a listen to this. Maybe this is the clip I'm looking for. We saw this earlier today, Sherry.
Awesome.
There are multitudes of cultures
and societies
exist throughout the vastness of space. And these societies and cultures have been on and off this planet from the very beginning. It is not just that we, the Pleiadians, have come to assist. We are only one grouping from one star system. There are many who have journeyed here for many reasons. The majority of the extraterrestrials are here for your upliftment, though there are...
Okay, well, that's an extremely long video and could take up the rest of the show. But
I think we should skip to the Matrix. That gave me chills. Ooh, that's sexy.
It's called Pleiadian Message, a wake-up call. If you guys want to look it up sometime, that's great. If you don't, that's cool, too. But like I was saying earlier, in a broad sense of the universe, not only is our universe infinite, but there are billions of different universes just like ours out there. There are still people out there who still think it's logical to assume that there are no other civilizations besides ours. But when I watched that video that I was just playing, I think to myself, man, Star Wars Episode 4 could be going on right under our noses and we wouldn't even know. Like, we could be, Ezin and Tatooine and, Endor might really be real places, man. I mean, in an infinite universe.
Where the Wookiees are, they're so cool.
You know what else logical, at least rational, is in a universe of infinite possibilities, it's more than ever likely that anything perceived or thought of is in fact taking place in our reality somewhere in the universe. Maybe not anywhere near us, but it could most definitely be taking place in one form or another.
the truth.
Oh,
do you believe in fate, Neil?
No.
Why not?
Because hey, Robo Hippie stole my picture. Ha
I know Bastard. Exactly what you mean.
It's inverted.
Yeah, he's Let disrespecting my picture.
He's flipping the pyramid.
What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter.
Oops.
Fuck, who are you, man? What's up with you?
You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Matrix? Do you want to know what it is? Turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work. When you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Anybody out there? Hello? Hello? Is anybody out there? Hello? Come in, CX4. Come in, CX4. Blue leader to red leader, come in.
No, you're all good, Cherry. I can hear you loud and clear. Fox has gone dead. Don't know what he's done.
Oh, splendid. Oh, no. Oh, well, then. That was funny. It's a good thing I didn't say anything embarrassing, right?
Hey, can you hear me?
Not really, man. What's up with you?
Oh, God. Wow, I was talking. I just had to check my microphone. I fucked something up.
Dude, you're obsessed with that microphone. I think you should, you should go to counseling.
Everything I just said just went out the window. Wow. Okay, we're...
Anything.
Okay, never mind. Anyway, when we think of a Matrix, we think of... That's why when I was telling Sherry to mute her mic, she wasn't doing it because she couldn't hear me. That's good to know.
Anyway, I muted my mic. I was listening to you the whole time. We were still here. We were with you, buddy. We were at the struggle. We were here with you.
When we think of a Matrix, we think of a dream state. Like in the movie, you saw Neo waking up in this machine, you know, bald-headed, no eyebrows, just plugged into a bunch of shit, wired up to a robot sort of AI thing, but that the whole thing he was experiencing was a dream. And so this has been a premise for the truth movement, everybody saying, wake up, you know, you gotta, you know, because a lot of people who are in the truth movement have watched The Matrix and kept that in mind for all the people who are kind of trapped in it. But we've got to understand that the majority of people who are still stuck in this system are people Well, anyway, I just realized we're going in a completely different direction here. Back to the alien question at hand, which is what we started with. We've got people who in the alien ufology research places like MUFORC, the mutual UFO network, and UFO reporting center online. You get people like this, and there's a lot of talk of places like Area 51. And cover-ups too, and disclosure. I'm going to say two things about this now. Disclosure: there is no need for disclosure. Because it's already been disclosed, if you haven't already realized. If you type in the word UFO into YouTube, you're going to find hundreds of thousands of different videos of images of UFOs. Disclosure is unnecessary at this point. It's up to the people like us to get that information ourselves. Disclosure, you might ask, well, if they disclosed that kind of information, then everything else, including Bohemian Grove and Men in Black, would just come out in the open. And people would realize, because this UFO agenda actually does tie in with the NWO agenda. Because I firmly believe that the people in our government are working with the people flying those ships, if they are not one and the same, according to David Icke. And as far as Area 51 goes, it was originally a nuclear test facility, now turned top-secret government research facility for technologies of otherworldliness, whether it be from another planet and or from another realm or another reality, another world. But when you look up videos on YouTube, check this out. I typed in the three letters UFO, and I saw 658,000 views, 2 million, 4 million. I'd say that's enough disclosure, wouldn't you, Sherry? Bob, what do you have to say about this?
Oh, God, I've looked at quite a bit of it, Fox, over a period of time. The UFOs, unidentified flying objects, many of them have been identified. That's the oopy thing. When you go back and have a look, a lot of them have been identified. The Hazendale or Hazenden light phenomena. The story behind that, I know I put your link before, I don't know how far you got through it, but just briefly, people were seeing what they thought, well, they were lights, basically, in the sky. Some of them incredibly bright, some of them large. They, basically, people thought they were all either taking drugs or there was mass hysteria or it was a hoax, because the mining town was quite, you know, deprived. The mining industry had gone and there wasn't many people living there. And the people basically approached students and they put equipment in because they've been ridiculed by the press and science and government officials. So they put equipment in and they recorded them. They actually tracked them and you know, they recorded the wavelengths of them and took various different scientific readings, measurements, and then actually presented the data to the many scientists. They had a, I don't know what you call it, like a seminar where they showed the findings to the scientific community. And since then, science has been rewriting the physics books. The nearest they could come up to is actually plasma burning in our atmosphere. Of course, according to physics, that can't actually happen. So, yeah, how much do we know about what's going on? I think very little. Very little indeed. It's easy for us to look at aliens or extraterrestrials, but we know so little about what's going on in our own little visible field of light. So yeah, I like your earlier concept of the dimensions. My favourite one is that I am a multi-dimensional being. And I exist in this dimension with you, and I also exist in a multitude of dimensions simultaneously.
Well, that goes lengths to explain what Edgar Cayce was experiencing, where he would fall asleep and slip into another world where I would say he had some answers or some. I haven't actually looked into Edgar Cayce, but apparently he was experiencing multidimensional versions of himself and getting answers from that particular reality that he chose to enter into. Well,
I didn't know that about Edgar Cayce, to be honest. But yeah, that sounds about right. I think going off the analogy of each of the dimensions is governed by vibration. Many people, you know, they say, oh, well, if you go to a higher level of energy or a low... I don't know if I specifically go on the higher levels, better level, so I do, you know. But if you change the frequency or the resonance, then, yeah, you could shift, couldn't you? Just, I suppose, like moving an old-fashioned needle on a radio. However, if you look at radio, because, you know, radio waves, light waves, if you look at radio waves, if we transmit at, say, 10 megahertz, At double it and then double again on the first heterodyne, so it would be 10, 40, and then again at 80, and then again at 160, and then again at 320, and then again at 640, you would have a heterodyne. You could tune in again and you'd hear yourself. So,
dude, I think
I don't think it's too far of a leap to jump to from a sound wave to a light wave and think the same could happen. I mean, this may not be, Edgar may not have been experiencing other versions of himself from other dimensions, but more than likely echoes of himself at a higher and lower frequency. Whether those higher and lower frequencies may be able to compress or contain more knowledge, so therefore would be more wise, I suppose, could give him information or answers. Perhaps, maybe. It's possible, isn't it?
Sherry brings up an interesting point here. Well, actually, just two words. She says time travel. And that being said, if you've ever seen the movie The Langoliers, you'll get a whole new point of view on time travel. Stephen King's The Langoliers, he's a writer, a very famous guy up here in Maine. The dude does a movie, and in it they end up flying a plane through a wormhole, and they end up back in time. But they only to realize, and one of the guys in there, who's the actors in there, who's apparently a writer, he's playing, Dean Stockwell, says that... time travel is not what we think it is, and that by going back in time, you couldn't prevent the assassination of a famous person or whatever, but that it would be alone because everybody traveling through time consciously has already moved through this point, which to me verifies my idea of how time is rather just a dimension, as in a measurable, quantifiable dimension. It's sort of like everything around us moving through space. Everything from subatomic particles to planets and space itself is moving forward through itself. It's and time is only measurable from one point to another. It's maybe the theory of relativity, where time is only relevant to the speed at which things travel through space. And the distance between
them. Oh, I don't go for that, Lee Fox, anymore. I think time's a constant rather than linear.
I don't think it's linear either. That's my point. I think that time's only something... I think time is sort of like a movement of, like, things through space, of everything, of space itself moving. And our perception of it is only based on a clock, because when things are in motion, we can't perceive motion unless the motion has changed. Because, like when you're in a car, you can't tell that you're moving unless you're speeding up or slowing down. It's the same thing with time. You can't perceive it any more than you can perceive the sun and rising or the sun setting, because you can't feel that motion because it's constant.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you, but I think that the recognition that time is a constant is paramount to human evolution development, at least. I don't know if whether we're evolving or devolving anymore. I really don't. But yeah, I think it is, especially for those people on that spiritual side of things, to actually recognize and perceive time as a constant opens up massive potential in what is actually achievable. So I think we've actually... the way we've all been taught to look at time and conceptualize it and conceive it, I think has been completely and utterly mistaken.
We, rather than using time to understand our universe, people are using time to control things, control themselves, like keep people in line. And when it comes to time, I think that a lot of it plays into this other idea I've had, that time is sort of abstract in the sense that everything we do, every decision we make, sends us into another universe where time exists in a different way. Things play out differently, but and all every minute, it almost seems as if infinite possibilities are happening infinitely fast at different moments based on the choices we make. So time is really only relative based on the universe that you exist in. So time is a really abstract concept if you really think of it as a literal dimension rather than just a fluid, like, you know, just an idea.
Oh, I don't think time exists in any other dimension, but where you are as an individual, and time is always constantly with you. I think that there's a massive possibility that the perception actually governs the aging process.
Well, I believe that the past and the future exist both in the present, which is why it's up to so many different forms of spirituality to bring yourself in the present so that you can understand both the future and the past and yourself in the moment.
It's but, great, isn't it? You can make a fortune out of that. I wish I would have thought of that one. What should we do? Oh, we'll set up this entire organization and we'll teach people how to be in the moment.
Well, believe it or not, a lot of people...
How would you not be in the moment, Fox? I mean, I'm not promoting
any ideas. I'm just saying that that is why a lot of spiritual people try to live in the moment, because of the idea that the future, both and the past, exist in the present along with yourself, and the best way to get in touch with all of that and everything is to live in the moment rather than to have your head in the clouds and somewhere else at some other point.
I don't dispute that, what you're saying, but where else could you actually live?
Okay, well, you have to understand the concept of consciousness, whereas how... Have you ever seen the movie Waking Life? It's a movie about lucid dreaming and stuff like that, where there's a line in this movie where it says, I sold my life for minimum wage, but they get my dreams for free. It's sort of like the idea that although I am here, my mind is somewhere else. And in order for both body and consciousness to find balance, and in order to understand each other in the universe and everything else, you have to sort of link them together in the now. Because your body is obviously where you are, but your consciousness could be 100 different places. And in order to fully, as you say, ground yourself, which is what you told me to do when I first came in here, you have to put your mind in the moment as well as with your body to connect the two.
No, the first thing I said was breathe.
Well, breathing is a form of
grounding. It's vitally important, you know, you've got to be able to breathe.
It's a form of groundation, and it does help because it puts you in the moment. It puts you where you're at now so that you can, you know, instead of focusing on all the shit going on in your head, you can focus a bit on what's actually going on in front of you. There are a lot of people out there who spend a lot of time stressing about things that have nothing to do with what's actually going on. And once they can accept that these things aren't going on and that they're... You get the idea, brother.
I know a lot of people think they need to descend into the consciousness. Some people think they're ascending into a higher plane of existence, and some think they are descending, and grounding their higher consciousness into the physical. I mean, personally, I don't need to occur that. I mean, my consciousness is resident and can actually be as much as a hand's length out of the top of my head. It can't go any further. My lowest self, the lowest point I could possibly reach, I suppose, physically or energetically, would be another hand's length beneath my feet. With my arms outstretched, then energetically I would have about, an hand's length, exactly, longer than my physical reach outside that field. So, yeah, that geometry, also known as sacred geometry, and that's a cracking name. I mean, people, they kill you. That's why it was sacred. You weren't allowed to know. If you knew this stuff, it was punishable by death. So, yeah.
Sort of like the seed of life pattern appearing inscribed with a laser or something on a temple outside of the pyramids of Egypt?
No, it's geometry is the physical. It's actually the sizes that your body fits you perfectly, 100%. As you grow, it grows with you. It always fits you. It's always changing. Your measurements won't fit anybody else. They'll only fit you. Well, of course, somebody exactly the same size as you in stature, and then it'll work on them as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like the Fibonacci sequence and the phi ratio, or if that's not the same thing, it actually probably is phi ratio Fibonacci. All right, but things like pi and I understand the concept of sacred geometry. There's actually it's actually a video called Sacred Geometry and Spirit Science.
They're actually pictorial explanations of it. Sacred geometry is the position your physical body makes in that moment. The position you're in. That's sacred to you. It's always sacred to you. The position your body's in the moment is, of course, it couldn't be any other place. And if you look at all the rituals they actually do, those rituals are all involved in the individual coming to a point where they cast the energy now.
The life force, I mean, like the Qigong or whatever, or the being in the moment that I am, I do what I want, I do what I will, or something like that?
That's right, yeah. If you're in the moment, then you would be able to, in that sense, cast the energy at your will, yeah. Well, not actually at your will, because will would be a contract of death. And obviously, you wouldn't want to be casting energy with a contract of death, you know, which many people do, of course. Unknowingly.
Satan gets a bad rap, man. Come on, give him a break.
Satan? Oh, I'm a great avid fan.
He's not that bad, man. He's pretty cool.
Oh yeah,
Sherry. What is that?
They are but two divides within the whole. That we have perceived. I mean, obviously they are part of the totality of all things, you know, so it doesn't matter what we may perceive of them. Yeah, I reckon these so-called darker elements or these things the so-called church tell us are demonic. I want to know more about them. Not because I want to get into some strange stuff or anything, just because I think no, the church is a lying, cheating bunch of bastards.
They're kinky, the church. They're sickos. They're right bastards.
So, yeah, anything they told me may be bad could probably be good for me.
Well, the thing is, like, that is true. Anything that, yeah, you just basically spelt it out in all capital letters. Anything that they claim is bad for you or doesn't work usually is churchies or governmentees for works very well and would probably make it so you don't need them anymore.
Right, like if they say it feels good.
Like alternative energy and homeopathy. They tell you it doesn't work because it does and it cures cancer and you won't need chemo anymore. My grandmother-in-law had cancer. The chemo was killing her. She used homeopathic medicine and she's fine. So how does that not work? Barry Prince has something to say about homeopathy and natural herbs and oils and stuff. What you got to say about that, Barry? Barry. Idiot bastard. You're probably so high off that shit you ain't even awake, boy.
Wake up, Bob.
Wake up, motherfucker.
Dad,
call the ambulance. He's dead. Fucking right. I'll give him 100 seconds. One, two, skip a
few. That's classic. That's right, happening before.
That's crazy, dude. Barry, and where is he?
Definitely Barry. This is unbelievable. Yeah.
Hey, Fox, I stepped away from Sarah, so I don't know
if you guys are talking. All right. My Canadian friend, A, do you have any information on natural herbs, A, and homeopathy, A?
Well, that's a loaded subject, man.
Fucking A, it is.
There's tons and tons to be said about natural herbs. Like I said, I had to step out there, Fox, so I didn't get a chance to listen.
I know. Step out, light up a doobie, but as long as...
No. It was a goodwill mission. So, anyways, you kind of caught me on the spot. My buddy is into herbology, man, and I've just really started looking at it in the last couple of years, and there's lots to be said about it. Lots to be said about it. They live and die by it, and they swear by it. So I could provide you with lots of information, but you can't. On this show. You know what, Fox? I should get Robin on your show, man. You want somebody to talk about herbology? He's been studying it all his life. His sister owns a store in Williams Lake, British Columbia, and that's what she sells, is nothing but herbs.
What she should know so about,
she has space cakes?
What you guys may notice about herbal supplements and treatments and stuff like that is it will say on the bottle, not approved nor tested by the FDA as an approved treatment for this. And the reason for that is not because the FDA didn't try.
Because they don't want anybody to take their money because they're pigs.
Because they can't make money off of it. If the FDA can't find a way to make money off of a cancer treatment, of which there have been quite a few, then they're not gonna, you know, put it out there.
Unless they assure you, they want to make you worse. They want to make you more deficient. They want to ultimately make you dead. They're not curing you.
Yeah, well, that's like I've said before. That's the point of the FDA. Is it's run by Monsanto, who does the but anyway, we're going in a completely different direction here.
Not me, that's you.
The point is, weed is good. Church says no weed, you should probably go burn one. If the government says that it's illegal, you should probably go buy a bag. That's my opinion. What do you think, Bob? You're smoking an herb.
I don't know what you mean. I know you've got 15 seconds left. Yeah, man.
Dandelions
are sweet. Why not? Smoke a weed.
Space cakes.
Smoking an herb.
Brownies.
All right. Ooh. Holy shit. So, what?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
The force is strong with this one.
Yeah, the force is real strong.
Are we off the air now?
I see no droids here.
No, we're on the air. I'm just trying to get my shit together right now. Well, okay. So now that we have reached a dead end, for all of you, you call late ones, enlightened ones, truth seekers out there, I'm going to move back to the subject of well, you know what? Since we have reached the dead end, I'm going to try to appeal to the better nature of the listening audience who has so far tuned in, for those who may not be so interested in ET. Okay, ETs. The government wants us to believe in aliens, all right? That's the thing. We've always said that there's a cover-up, a cover-up of the UFO or the alien question. But if you think about it, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of movies about aliens. And the first one, of course, is E.T. I'm sure you guys have seen that, like Steven Spielberg. Now, you've got to know.
It's not.
The government's covering something up. You wouldn't know about it. Most people wouldn't know about it. Even the average person knows.
Excuse me, Fox. I don't mean to interrupt you, man, but if you look at the text in the room, you'll notice
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, man. What's the matter with you?
We're paying attention. We're done. Show's over.
It's not E.T. It's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, man.